seen a lot of pitchers giving their equipment to umpires and then walking by immediately. That has not happened with Hector Santiago.
It would appear that something was untoward in the glove of Hector Santiago, who can't believe it.
We have our first culprit of the new system of checking pitchers. Hector Santiago has been thrown out of the ballgame.
Mariners pitcher Hector Santiago became the first guy ejected from a game under MLB's new enforcement against pitchers using quote-unquote sticky stuff, breaking the rules to help them grip the ball. It's been about a week since spot checks began, and ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan is here to tell us why guys are getting undressed coming off the field. In one case, literally. What it's like for pitchers to quit the sticky life, and whether this crackdown is good for the game. I'm Sarah Spain. It's Thursday, July 1st. This is ESPN Daily. Baseball is somehow a sport that both strictly follows unwritten rules and scoffs at the prospect of following actual rules. And that habit of turning a blind eye to non-compliance, from PEDs to sign stealing and now foreign substances, has gotten us here. Chaos, anger, a surprising number of pants-dropping incidents, and Jeff Passan is here to help sort it all out. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Somehow, little bits of goop are wreaking havoc on America's pastime. And for those who are just learning about sticky stuff or Goo-gate or whatever we're going to name this scandal, if you had to sum it up in a sentence or two, what exactly is happening in baseball?
Baseball right now is going through a bit of an existential crisis. It goes awfully deep here because it mixes together the tried and true tradition of cheating in the game. And it also is something that's very lo-fi, where you're trying to get some sticky stuff on your fingers to throw better pitches. All of this has wound up in a situation where Major League Baseball is trying to implement something on the fly that would be difficult to do with months of planning. And it's having a pretty profound impact on the field, which was the intended consequence. But it's also bringing up questions about just how difficult it's going to be to implement it fairly across the sport.
So this crackdown is spot checks of pitchers coming off the field mid-game to make sure they're not using anything illicit on the ball. And it took less than one full week for a game ejection over this, as Seattle Mariners pitcher Hector Santiago was thrown out on Sunday. What happened there?
Hector Santiago is a journeyman left-handed pitcher, a guy who started with the Chicago White Sox and bounced around in his career and has had a bit of a resurgence with the Seattle Mariners this year. And he was in his third inning of work and had walked a guy and was being taken out of the game by his manager, Scott Service.
3-1. Outside ball four. They're loaded for Tim.
I got to believe that that is going to be it. They will wave bye-bye to Hector.
And when you go out of the game in Major League Baseball right now, you are going to get checked by an umpire for foreign substances.
We have seen a lot of pitchers giving their equipment to umpires and then walking by immediately. That has not happened with Hector Santiago.
When Hector Santiago was checked by an umpire, they thought that they found sticky stuff on his glove. They confiscated the glove and put it in what looked like a garbage bag, and they booted Hector Santiago from the game.
We have our first culprit of the new system of checking pitchers. Hector Santiago has been thrown out of the ballgame.
It was quite a to-do to see this happening in real time and see it after the game when Santiago said, I wasn't using any foreign substances.
I'm expecting them, obviously, to check me every inning. I kind of joked around with them moving, like if I was going to run away, because I know I wasn't using anything besides rosin, you know, what's given to us.
It has a chance to be an even more fascinating story than it is right now, because when you're trying to implement a rule that you have turned a blind eye to for 6 years, and the first time a guy gets kicked out of the game, he pleads innocence. Major League Baseball, in order to have this have some teeth, needs this to be successful. And if Hector Santiago has a case against a suspension potentially, success is not the word I would use there.
To be clear, because you mentioned that it hasn't been enforced for 6 years, it's really not truly been enforced for the entirety of baseball history. Yes, this is not a new rule, the idea of not being allowed to use foreign substances. It's just that they're finally going to actually care about the rule.
We have to understand, when it comes to sticky substances in baseball, they're not all the same. You know, dating back to the 1900s, like early 1900s, pitchers put everything on baseballs. And it wasn't until 1920 that the spitball was outlawed in baseball. And yet since then, they have done everything you can imagine to try and cut up a baseball, to put goo on it, to make it move differently. What we didn't understand until recently was how it worked. And we knew that the ball moved differently, but we didn't quite know why. And that's where technology comes in. When TrackMan started tracking all of the pitches that were being thrown, this company that could tell you not just how fast a pitch was going, but the revolutions per minute and the spin axis, we began to understand better what spin does for baseball. The more a ball spins, typically, the more effective it is. And that is especially the case on four-seam fastballs and breaking balls. I would rather, Sarah, throw a 93-mile-per-hour fastball with 2,600 RPMs of spin than a 98-mile-per-hour fastball with 2,200. That's how important and effective spin can be. And what players began to understand is there are only certain elements that can help you gain spin. And the element that is easiest to use is sticky stuff. When Major League Baseball didn't enforce its own foreign substance rule that has been there ad infinitum, all of a sudden, you had pitchers being more effective than ever in a game of baseball where hits were few and far between.
And we'll get to that and why baseball suddenly realized, oh no, we've brought this on ourselves and we have to course correct. But I want to go back to Santiago because he's the first we're seeing of this, and we don't know what happens next. Do you know what happens to the glove and to Santiago from here?
The Santiago case, Sarah, is awfully interesting because of all of the disparate elements to it that maybe Major League Baseball anticipated, but maybe it didn't. If you watch Hector Santiago on the day that umpires accused him of using a foreign substance, he is regularly licking his fingers. Now, maybe Hector Santiago likes the taste of foreign substance. I kind of doubt that, though. And if you're using something, typically you're not going to be going and licking it off your fingers. Typically, also, if you're using a foreign substance, you're not going to be caking your arm in rosin necessarily. And that's exactly what Hector Santiago did before he was taken out of the game after he issued a walk. If you watch the game, he arbitrarily threw the ball out of play a couple of times and asked for a new ball. If you have stuff on your fingers, generally speaking, that's not the kind of thing that you do. Some of the questions that came out of this were what happened after his glove was confiscated. It went to an MLB authenticator who put it inside of a bag. I don't know what kind of a bag it was. It looked like a high-quality garbage bag, you know, the kind that doesn't break when you have pointy trash. And I don't know where it went from there. There's been no sign from Major League Baseball as to what the chain of custody looked like. And when it comes to something like this, the MLB authenticator is not like a security person. It tends to be a person who's there to put stickers on balls so they can be sold in the MLB official shop.
And to clarify on that, what exactly is allowed and what is banned?
Well, what is allowed is rosin. And rosin is something that's been around forever. There's a bag on the mound, and you get to take this sort of dry, powdery stuff and mix it with your sweat. Or you can have, I haven't seen this from a pitcher yet, but you are allowed to have a rag, a damp rag in your back pocket to go get liquid to use. Otherwise, nothing's allowed. There is no pine tar allowed. There is no sunscreen, which mixes together with rosin to form a sticky thing. There is no pelican grip. There is no spider tack. The answer really is nothing's allowed.
Yeah, certainly MLB, not a super sympathetic figure here as they've brought this on themselves, but the pitchers trying to make themselves sympathetic, perhaps with some of the outcry. And there hasn't been a ton, but in this industry, best video wins, and best video is, people dropping trow, right? But for the most part, the checks have been pretty organized. Pitchers are submitting without protest. So, you know, is this a matter of us just focusing on the highlights that lead SportsCenter instead of what appears to be acquiescence from most?
Let's look at the highlights that lead SportsCenter. First is Max Scherzer, who's a Hall of Fame caliber pitcher, getting checked, not in a routine check, but in up to this point, the only manager-induced check when Joe Girardi from the Philadelphia Phillies asked umpires to look at him.
They're going to check Max here in the middle of an inning, and it was initiated by the other manager. Joe Girardi up to the top step to have his look over the other way. He's daring Max to come on over and get into it.
And Max Scherzer, that's a good way to describe Max Scherzer. He's intense. And he was not happy.
I'd have to be an absolute fool to actually use something tonight when everybody's in toes.
You know, an umpire going out there and sniffing his hair because Girardi thought that there might be something in his hair because he was running his hands through it.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010, but I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever.
I mean, the whole thing optically was a disaster. And on that same day, Sergio Romo, the Oakland A's pitcher, had given up a home run, was coming off the field, needed to be checked, was most unhappy about that inconvenience, threw his glove and hat to the ground, unbuckled his belt, and for good measure, pulled his pants right down.
He's immediately thrown off the belt, the glove, the hat, everything.
Those are the ones, Sarah, that stick in our mind. You know, I heard from a number of people in baseball saying, why is everyone on ESPN talking about how this thing's failing? I was like, well, look at how bad it looks. And their response was, yeah, but look at what's happening. Mm-hmm. And what they meant was there are hundreds of other cases of foreign substance checks right now that are not leading to guys getting their hair sniffed or pulling their pants down. They're doing it like all of us walk through TSA at the airport. Do we like it? No. Is it a little bit begrudging? Yeah. But do we, in the end, acquiesce? Of course we do, because that's what's best for everybody involved. This is part of the new reality. But beyond that, beyond what we can see out on the field every night, there's something happening that computers tell us about that is changing the game, a lot of people would say, for the better.
Coming up, how pitchers are adjusting as they have to quit the sticky life, cold turkey.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Jeff, before we get into what the numbers are telling us is happening in the game of baseball because of these spot checks, I want to understand the struggle of a pitcher who's been using something like spider tack and now can't. What is his experience like trying to do his job now?
I think the closest we've gotten to understanding this was from Tyler Glasnow. The way he described having to pitch without a foreign substance was awfully interesting.
I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches.
When Glasnow is throwing a fastball, he describes holding it almost like he would hold an egg. He would use his fingers to squeeze the ball rather than the hand strength that he has if you put it deeper in your hand. When you don't have a grip agent, doing that is a much more difficult proposition. And when you're throwing 100 miles per hour like Tyler Glasnow, that's where it gets a little bit scary. So he said he felt like he had to almost jam the ball closer to his palm, and that doing so activated different muscles in the forearm, and the forearm muscles tend to be the greatest break on the stress and strain coming down the arm through the shoulder, and they're almost like shock absorbers, so all of that force and energy don't go into the ulnar collateral ligament, which is the thing that holds the elbow together, and when it breaks, you need Tommy John surgery. Well, Tyler Glasnow ends up with a UCL injury.
I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt. No doubt, without a doubt. And I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's all just shit on. Because now it's over.
This is why pitchers have been as reticent as they have about this, because they don't want to be the next Tyler Glasnow.
Jeff, is there any reporting that you've done that shows that pitchers are getting retraining from their organizations or pitching coaches after these spot check rules became a part of the game?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember hearing the week before the June 21st enforcement date from a couple of organizations that said guys are having to throw extra bullpen sessions in between starts in order to figure out how they're going to pitch. And it made me laugh because it's like middle of the season, guys need to learn how to pitch. With some guys, that's how it is. I mean, Garrett Richards, the Boston Red Sox starter, said, I need to figure out how to do things because I've been doing them a certain way for the last 9.5 years.
I've never had to make this kind of change in my whole career. I'm starting to throw a changeup now. I learned that this week on about 3 days. And then now I'm throwing a curveball at about 60 miles an hour, which is different for me. Just trying to figure out how to pitch again, man.
I read something about how Garrett Richards was dropping his arm into a bucket of ice water for like 30 seconds at a time, and it seemed to help. What am I missing here?
I mean, listen, this is baseball. Guys pee on their hands to make calluses. So I don't put anything past any player. I know a guy who, when he was in a slump, used to strip off all his clothes and go down into the tunnel and take naked batting practice. If dipping your arm into a bucket of ice water for 30 seconds makes you better, then dip away, my friend.
And the other Garrett Cole, goes from being an elite pitcher to just sort of struggling seemingly overnight. What do you make of Garrett Cole?
I'm not going to sit here, Sarah, and say Garrett Cole is a worse pitcher now because he's not able to use foreign substances. I'm not there yet. This is where sample size matters. Garrett Cole had an admittedly and understandably bad start against the Boston Red Sox. He gave up 3 home runs. And since the June 3rd change, he's had 5 starts and has given up 9 home runs. In his previous 11 starts, he had given up 5 home runs. So that indicates that maybe there's something of a change there. But it's 5 games, Sarah, and I cannot get worked up over an individual starting pitcher over 5 games. But when I look across the league at what's gone on, I'm gonna give you a fire hose of numbers here. So please bear with me. Before June 3rd, Major League Baseball players batting .236. Since June 3rd, .244. The average spin on a four-seam fastball in Major League Baseball was 2,318. The average spin since the enforcement date, 2,229. We're talking almost a 100 RPM drop in average four-seam fastball across baseball. That is a staggering thing, Sarah. Against 2,600-plus RPM fastballs, guys hit like 180. And against 2,200 RPM fastballs, guys hit like 270. And when you have those numbers right there, as stark as it is, it goes to show that doing this has changed the way that baseball is being played already, a week and a half into this thing. And we're going to see a trade deadline where some players are going to be valued higher because maybe they weren't sticky stuff users. And we're going to see an offseason where free agent values are going to be changed demonstrably because of this. And all of this is to say, we can look at Max Scherzer getting angry and Sergio Romo pulling his pants down and say, ha ha, this is funny, sticky stuff, let's make jokes about that. The effect that this is having in every area of baseball is profound and is, in every sense of the word, Sarah, game-changing. And I think there's a little bit of balance coming back into the game because hitters finally started, you know, raging back against what pitchers were saying to them. And there's a psychological element to this whole thing. If you find something that makes you better, you will make excuses up to rationalize it in your mind why what you're doing is okay. And part of me thinks that's exactly what happened in this situation. That pitchers got an inch, took a mile, and told themselves that that gap from that inch to that mile was not just understandable, but was their duty. And so why not? If you're a player, if you see a tangible difference in the quality of what you're doing, it almost seems foolish not to try.
Jeff, this all sounds so much like what players might be telling themselves when they start using PEDs, when they start stealing signs.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we know to be illegal, but are allowed enough that you just keep pushing and baseball deciding to turn away instead of punishing has gotten us here. So as chaotic and messy as this feels mid-season, from the perspective of Major League Baseball, knowing the results that the stats are telling us, is this so far so good?
Rob Manfred came out during the first week and said the enforcement is going well so far. And got laughed at a little bit. And I can understand why. It was after Scherzer had his hair sniffed. The optics of it all were kind of laughable. But if you look at the effect that this is having on offense, which is up, and ask yourself, is Major League Baseball better without sticky stuff than it was with it? I think the answer is yes.
If that's the case, will we see spot checks in perpetuity? When does this end and how?
That hasn't been addressed yet. And I think it hasn't been addressed because it's a really difficult question. Because on one hand, it feels kind of silly to keep doing it, especially if this is out of the game as it seems to be right now. But if they're not doing spot checks, aren't we just going to wind up back where we started? Like, the second they stop testing for something, guys are going to start taking it. You know why, Sarah? Because it's Major League Baseball, and they love to cheat. Like, if we know anything by now, it is that baseball players have a reverence for cheating. And part of me doesn't blame them.
Jeff, I for one would rather see spot checks every once in a while at a game if along with that comes action. Fewer strikeouts, more balls in play. This game has gotten uglier and more awkward, and if this is the solution, I'm here for it. Jeff Passan. Thank you for helping us through this sticky situation. Up next, a story about a Yankees Batgirl 60 years in the making.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. Today is Bobby Bonilla Day, celebrating one of the worst deals in sports history, a deal that will see the New York Mets pay the 58-year-old former slugger over $1.9 million today. He's collected a check every year since 2011 and will continue to every July 1st until 2035. If you need some catching up, in 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on Bonilla's contract in annual payments of just under $1.2 million for 25 years, including a negotiated 8% interest. Their ownership in a Bernie Madoff account expected to perform well made this seem like a great plan at the time. Needless to say, it didn't work out. In fact, by the time all this is over, the Mets will have paid Bonilla about $30 million instead of six. There's nothing the Mets can do now about that fateful decision all those years ago, but this week their New York counterparts, the Yankees, found a way to right one of their wrongs from decades ago. On Monday, 70-year-old Gwen Goldman acted as the Yankees' Batgirl, in pinstripes and all, 60 years after she penned a letter to the team and was turned down because she was a girl.
I don't know where to start of which was the best, which, you know, what did I enjoy the most? Just the whole piece from walking in the front door of the stadium at gate two to coming up to a locker with my name on it that said Gwen Goldman and suiting up and then walking out onto the field. It took my breath away. It's obviously taking my words away also.
In June of 1961, then Yankees GM Roy Hamey responded to Goldman's request to be a Batgirl, writing in part, quote, "I am sure you can understand that it is a game dominated by men. A young lady such as yourself would feel out of place in a dugout." When current Yankees GM Brian Cashman was forwarded an email from Goldman's daughter with a copy of that letter, he thought, better late than never. He joined assistant GM Gene Afterman and star pitcher Garrett Cole on a surprise Zoom call with Goldman, inviting her to the ballpark to throw out the first pitch and finally live her dream of being a Batgirl. Said Cashman to Goldman, "Some dreams take longer than they should to be realized, but a goal attained should not dim with the passage of time." For Goldman, it was worth the wait. I'm Sarah Spain, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.